The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I didn't fail to miss it. That's right. I succeeded in making sure I missed the Democrats' debate last night. I knew I'd get all I needed from the highlights. And based on what I saw, nothing surprising. I've been looking at it all day long, except maybe for Joe Biden's teeth almost falling out. That might have been a little bit surprising. And it actually would have been funnier if they had. But everybody tried to overdo the person next to them by offering more free stuff, and a few of them made sure that everybody noticed that Joe Biden is, you know, old. Kamala Harris has a really annoying laugh, and that was on display when Biden said it would be unconstitutional for her to outlaw whatever guns she wants to outlaw with an executive order. He said, you can't do that, and she cackled and said something about, oh, don't say we can't, Joe. It's yes, we can. So she's running for queen or dictator or something. It was all very predictable, as I said, and based on the highlights, unwatchable. And I guess the question is, will it get worse when some people drop out? I don't know. Maybe it'll get better, but it might be entertaining to see Bernie and Elizabeth Warren, you know, going toe-to-toe on who can offer the most free stuff. That would be great to just see them stand face-to-face and just start spewing things that are going to be free. And as you know, I'm still holding out for the free shoes or maybe pants, and I can't believe nobody has offered either one of those things yet. And lost in the discussion about Joe Biden's teeth and all the other stuff that was going on there was the story that a prosecutor has recommended that charges be brought against Andrew McCabe. He's the former deputy director of the FBI and was actually acting director of the FBI for a while. When we come back after the break, we'll talk to a guy who used to work in the Justice Department about what they're likely to charge him with and the chances of the charges sticking. And it's Friday, so we're going to do some sports. The Pitt-Penn State game is tomorrow. And it's the 100th time they're going to play, and it might be the last time. Good chance. Well, it's the last time for a long time. It might be the last time ever, which is just unbelievably stupid, and it points out all the things that are stupid about college sports, but especially football. Basketball is stupid, too, but I think football takes the cake there. But they are playing tomorrow, and we will talk about why this series is going to end and what happened to the rivalry. We'll be talking to Mike DeCourcy. He is from the Sporting News, sportingnews.com. He's a former Pittsburgh guy, wrote for the Pittsburgh Press, and he wrote a nice piece about why the rivalry has ended, why the series has ended, and why people should expect it and not expect it to be coming back. And we'll talk to all the stupidity, including things like Penn State being able to play teams like Idaho and beat them 79-7, but maybe not schedule Pitt next year. And also, because it is Friday, we have this for you.
And now, it's time for The Jerk of the Week, starring John Steigerwald.
And we have a late entry. Less than 24 hours ago, Robert O'Rourke got under the gun, so to speak, by saying something during the debate that would ensure that he could never get elected president, or for that matter, ever sniff the nomination. He doubled down on his promise to round up everybody's guns.
Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47. We're not going to allow it to be used against our fellow Americans anymore.
Well, the crowd loved it. We can't give them all Jerk of the Week awards. Just Beto. He gets it. Beto, Robert O'Rourke gets it. And fortunately for the Republicans, he hasn't dropped out yet, so he'll still be around with a chance to win the Windows R Us Jerk of the Week in the future.
The Jerk of the Week is brought to you by Windows R Us, Pittsburgh's premier exterior replacement company. Expert repair and replacement for windows, roofs, siding, doors, gutters, and downspouts. Why pay double? Visit WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com.
They blow into town with the wind, rain, and hail. And out-of-town storm chasers going door-to-door, often posing as a local company offering a quick fix to desperate homeowners. If you've had damage to your roof, windows, siding, or gutters and downspouts, you may be eligible to get them replaced or repaired free of charge. Just be careful who you call. Visit WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com for a free inspection from one of their highly trained appraisers. With over 50 years in home remodeling, Windows R Us is the area's premier exterior replacement company for roofs, siding, gutters and downspouts, doors, and of course windows. If damage isn't your issue and you just want something new, you'll love their no-pressure approach, no hidden fees, and one of the fastest turnaround times in the industry. A company who will never skip town when it comes to honoring their warranty. Visit WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com. Mention STAG for an additional 10% off. Windows R Us, proud sponsor of the Jerk of the Week, heard every Friday on the John Steigerwald Show. WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com. Obamacare, Trump Care, ACA, COBRA. There are so many choices, but all seem to bring one word to mind. Expensive. There are lots of changes happening in healthcare today. Fortunately, I know someone that has been on the forefront of health insurance for years, Todd Marley at Marley Financial. Todd and his team of professionals are licensed with virtually every healthcare provider in the country. They help determine which plan is right for you and then expertly help you choose the best plan for your needs and then do so prudently. Don't need maternity coverage? Call Marley Financial. Have pre-existing conditions? Call Marley Financial. Want just catastrophic or just accident? You know the answer. Worried about the penalty? All of Marley Financial plans are penalty exempt because they know how to design the plans. Most of their clients save 30 to 60%, which can add up to several thousand dollars a year. Call Todd at Marley Financial, 724-884-1496. That's 724-884-1496 on the web at marleyfg.com.
You started your business with nothing but a great big idea. They told you it couldn't be done, but that just made you work harder to prove them wrong. Now look at you, ready to take on the world. Speed Pro Pittsburgh South gets where you're coming from. When they said they wanted to create great big graphics for great big ideas like yours in less time than anyone else, they were told it couldn't be done. Speed Pro Pittsburgh South just smiled and said, "Oh yeah? Watch us." When you need a large format printing partner who can provide high-quality visual graphics in stunning detail, from trade show displays to outdoor signs, 3M brand vehicle wrap for your fleet, to window graphics, banners, and decals, Speed Pro Pittsburgh South can handle most jobs in 2 days or less, and can roll with last-minute change-ups without breaking a sweat. Who says it can't be done? For a free quote, visit speedpropghsouth.com.
Morning Bullets is asking for the public to respond to a nationwide poll that could help shape political policy in 2020. This is your chance to be heard by the decision makers all the way up the chain. Their question, should the federal government provide free health care to illegal immigrants? Yes or no? Visit TrumpsPulseOnAmerica.com to let your voice be heard before the decisions are made for you. Medical services are guaranteed by the Emergency Treatment and Active Labor Act and require hospitals to provide care regardless of citizenship, legal status, or ability to pay. The Federation for American Immigration Reform reported that medical expenditures for illegal immigrants was over $17 billion in 2017 alone. The decision is up for debate, and the policymakers want to hear what the public thinks. Should the federal government provide free health care to illegal immigrants? Yes or no? Go to TrumpsPulseOnAmerica.com now to vote. That's TrumpsPulseOnAmerica.com. TrumpsPulseOnAmerica.com. Be heard.
This is the John Steigerwald Show on AM 1250, The Answer.
Well, it was a long time coming, but somebody at the FBI is looking at some jail time, it would appear. The U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia recommended prosecuting former acting director of the FBI, Andrew McCabe, yesterday. So should he be prosecuted, and what should he be prosecuted for? Our go-to guy on this stuff has been Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation. He worked in the Justice Department and is a former member of the Federal Election Commission, and he joins us now. Hans, thanks for coming back.
John, thanks for having me back on a Friday afternoon.
So what was this the right thing to do? Let's start with that.
Yes, he needs to be prosecuted, one, not only because he broke the law, but because the FBI and the Justice Department have to assure the American people, restore their confidence that there aren't two different standards for the laws, federal laws and rules and regulations that apply. And that's why they've got to prosecute him for what the Inspector General of Justice found to be his lying about some incidents at the FBI.
So what will they charge him with, and will it stick?
Well, here's what happened. He engaged in unauthorized leaks of information to a reporter at the Wall Street Journal about the Clinton Foundation investigation. When he was asked about the article that appeared in the Wall Street Journal by his then boss, which was FBI Director James Comey, he said, "Oh, I don't know how that happened. I didn't authorize that." So he lied to James Comey about it. When they started investigating this, he ended up lying under oath to officials from the Office of the Inspector General. So he's violated two different statutes. First of all, he committed perjury when he lied under oath to the Inspector General's office, but he also broke federal law when he lied to his boss, James Comey, because remember, it is a felony to lie to a federal law enforcement official, because that's what they charged Michael Flynn with, the former general Michael Flynn. Remember, he was charged with lying to FBI agents who were interviewing him about telephone calls he had with the Russian ambassador. Well, if they're going to prosecute Michael Flynn for this, they have an even greater incentive and duty to charge the number two guy at the FBI who broke the law.
And Flynn wasn't under oath, was he?
No, he wasn't, which makes what McCabe... Look, the two reasons what McCabe did was worse. First of all, he was under oath. That makes it worse. But second, good grief, he's the number two official at the most powerful federal law enforcement agency in the country. He has an absolute duty to abide by the law when he's one of the people enforcing federal law against all the rest of us, and yet he violated the law in this particular case.
So what was the worst thing that he allegedly did? Is it the leaking or the lying about the leaking, or both?
Well, the leaking broke FBI rules and policy. So it broke their regulations. The FBI does not comment on whether or not an investigation is open or not. That's their standard policy. And yet he broke that to leak to the Wall Street Journal that there was an investigation going on at the Clinton Foundation. But when he was asked about it and he then lied, that was actually breaking federal law, and that's what he can be prosecuted for.
So was it a bigger – why is it a bigger deal? Because he – this is what the Inspector General said. He said the leaks were, quote, designed to advance his personal interest at the expense of department leadership. What's wrapped up in that statement?
Well, look, he obviously had personal objectives there. He had been accused of a conflict of interest at one point because his wife was running for office in Virginia. And at the time she did, she got a huge donation from folks associated with the Clinton campaign. So there were allegations that out in the press that they weren't doing anything about the problems have been claimed with, you know, donations being made to the Clinton Foundation. So what does he do? Well, he leaks out that, oh, no, no, they are investigating the Clinton Foundation. So this was basically to try to fix allegations that were being made against him and his conflict of interest in that case. And that is not a reason to leak sensitive law enforcement information about an ongoing investigation.
Now, you worked in the Justice Department, and you know how things work there. And this guy, as you said, he was the acting director of the FBI, so you've dealt with the FBI.
Right.
What would make someone with the experience that Andrew McCabe has or had believe that he could get away with this, blatantly lie, and not be called on it? Was it only because is this another case of them not worrying about getting caught because Hillary Clinton was going to be president?
Yeah, I think that's it. But it's also because in a separate Inspector General report last year, also The Inspector General talked about how there was this apparently this general accepted practice in the leadership of the FBI. So these are all the senior people in the Washington headquarters of breaking all of the rules regarding not leaking sensitive information to the media. And that IG report accused numerous other FBI officials of leaking information on various investigations to the media. So McCabe was following right down that line. You know, he's the guy that should have been enforcing the rules against subordinate FBI personnel and going after those who were engaging all these leaks, and yet he's doing it himself, too.
What is this? You know, you've been in Washington a long time. Explain to people, if you can, what is this with the leaking? I mean, how prevalent is it? How much do people just look the way look the other way when it happens? Obviously, this is a case when this guy could get into some big trouble for leaking and then lying about it. But I mean, how unusual is it for leaks? It just seems like it's every. We wouldn't have. I don't think we'd have network newscasts if it weren't for leaks.
Well, I think you're right, and it's become an epidemic. But it's something that really has grown up in the last few decades. Because if you recall, look, before the modern media, there were many newspapers that didn't accept stories from anonymous sources. And most newspapers, again, required someone to confirm information they were getting from one source. They didn't want to just go with one person. Because, of course, if you're an anonymous source, well, then you can get away with just about anything. You know, if you're a disgruntled career employee in the federal government and you don't like the political appointees above you, through anonymous sourcing, I mean, you can go after anybody you want, make all kinds of allegations against them, and the target of that can't really fight back because he has no idea who's leaking this information or making up claims that aren't true.
Yeah, and here's the thing. We're talking to Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation, and a former, he worked in the Justice Department and on the Federal Election Commission. So he's been around this stuff for a long time. This thing about the leaking, there's something that's almost, it's almost as bad as the leaking, and the media allow public officials to get away with it. Maybe you've seen it yourself.
Yeah.
And that is off the record. Now, I'll tell you a story. There's an old baseball writer in Pittsburgh, Charlie Feeney, wrote for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette for a long time. An old-time, you know, ink-stained wretch. One of those guys, just a classic old-school baseball writer, beat writer. And he was easy. All my time covering sports, over 30 years, he's the only guy who I ever came across who will not take anything off the record. If the manager of the Pirates would start off a sentence with Charlie off the record, he'd say, not off the record. Don't tell me if I can't use it. And here's why. Because when he believed that he was used often by, it would be a story that he might have come across anyway, but when the manager would tell it to him off the record, then now if he finds out on his own, he can't use it because the manager will think he told him off the record. So, I mean, I'm sure that happens a lot in Washington where you can manipulate the media by making them think you're doing them a favor by telling them something off the record. But what they're really doing is preempting you from doing a story.
Oh, I think that happens a lot. And I think that is the kind of dishonest behavior, because that's what it is, that you see going on all the time. And look, we've had several instances recently where particular media personalities have really been embarrassed, particularly because they have printed stories based on anonymous sources that have later turned out to be completely untrue. Mm-hmm. Look, all you got to do is look at the last 2 years of what turned out to be totally fake stories about Russian collusion with the Trump campaign to fix the 2016 election, and how many media companies like CNN were just printing all of these stories using anonymous sources, all of which turned out to be completely untrue.
Yeah, it happens a lot. Well, I got to ask you about this other thing I saw today, written by Benjamin Wittes. Wittes, W-I-T-T-E-S. Are you familiar with him?
I am.
He works for Lawfare and the Brookings Institute. He wrote today that he's shocked by the decision to prosecute, and he speculated that a grand jury met and then refused to hand up an indictment. Could he be right about that?
I don't know whether that's true or not, but I don't know why he's shocked that the decision's been made to prosecute McCabe. How could you possibly justify not prosecuting McCabe when this very same Justice Department and this same FBI is prosecuting General Michael Flynn for doing exactly the same thing McCabe did?
Well, here's what he says. He says that this is a case that doesn't normally end up as a criminal matter. He said, quote, indictments for false statements in an internal Justice Department investigation without some exacerbating factor are extremely rare.
Yes, but that may be true, but it shouldn't be rare. Because if it's rare, then that means the Justice Department is not making its lawyers live under the same rules that they routinely apply to civilians like us.
And so could it be that prosecutors asked the grand jury not to return an indictment for some reason? They'd rather not have an indictment right now.
Well, look, U.S. attorneys normally do use grand juries, but they don't. They don't always use grand juries. Prosecutors can initiate charges on their own. They don't have to use a grand jury. And if they're not using one in this case, it may not be needed because it's very clear and the evidence is very strong about what happened.
So how long can this be dragged out, Hans? I mean, when's McCabe going to actually, if he's going to, when's he going to actually face the music here?
Well, we don't know. What we do know is that the U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia, a woman named Jessie Liu, she recommended prosecution. There was an appeal filed by McCabe's lawyer with Jeffrey Rosen. He's the number two at Justice. It was reported yesterday that Jeffrey Rosen rejected that appeal. So now it's up to Liu to bring the charges and have him arrested, and we have no idea how soon that will happen.
Now, when they went after, I think it was Stone, the FBI showed up with military equipment outside his house at 3 o'clock in the morning. Any chance of that happening to McCabe?
No, I doubt it, and that should not have happened.
I know.
And I don't think it'll happen with McCabe.
Now, I only have about a minute and a half left, and I'm just wondering, do you think that this is kind of a tip of the iceberg deal and that McCabe is a strong candidate to start singing about other people in the FBI and the Justice Department and who knows who else, including James Comey?
I guess that's a possibility, but we don't really know what other information he might have that hasn't been revealed that he could use as a bargaining chip. In many ways, I think this is just a preliminary bout to the big show. Because remember, the big show that we're still waiting for is the IG's investigation into, and John Durham, the U.S. Attorney's investigation, into the start of the whole Russia election collusion investigation and whether the FISA statute was abused to use political opposition research as a way of going after the Trump campaign. That's where we may see real criminal conduct and criminal prosecution.
And I have about 30 seconds left at a hard break. Are we going to eventually see people singing about each other before this is over?
Well, if the IG report that we're expecting on the FISA thing makes some serious charges, then yeah, some of the people involved in that, in order to not be charged with really serious violations of the law, may try to get deals where they testify to in exchange for that.
Hey, Hans, thanks a lot, as always. Thank you.
Sure.
With SRN News, I'm Ron DeRockstra. The first hammer falls in the college admission scandal.
Felicity Huffman entered the federal court accompanied by her husband, actor William H. Macy, and her brother. Besides getting 14 days in federal prison, the actress was also sentenced to a year of supervised release, 250 hours of community service, and a $30,000 fine. The judge said she knew what she was doing was wrong, and trying to be a good mother doesn't excuse her. The actress had said she just wanted to help her daughter get into a good college and admitted paying $15,000 to have a proctor correct her daughter's SAT exam. I'm Julie Walker.
It was Vice President Pence's turn at the 2019 House Republican Conference member retreat in Baltimore, where he told lawmakers today Republicans can recapture the House majority next year. This is SRN News.
When it comes to your pain, many of you might be skeptical, like I was, about ordering Relief Factor. Pat Boone again for this wonderful 100% drug-free supplement designed to help your own body lower or eliminate occasional aches and pains due to aging, exercise, everyday living. I'm not skeptical any longer. The three-week quick start is now discounted to only $19.95. Why don't you let us see if we can get you out of pain, too, at ReliefFactor.com.
Hi, this is Dennis Prager, and we just launched a new Pragertopia membership called Pragertopia Unlimited. Members can listen to any and all audio programs that are in the Dennis Prager store. That's over 400 programs to choose from. Show segments, talks, lectures, courses, even full access to all 5 books of my Torah teaching. For a limited time, an annual Pragertopia Unlimited membership is only $119. Join Pragertopia Unlimited today. Go to Pragertopia.com.
Larry Elder believes it's time for personal responsibility.
You can apply it to almost anything. Let's take these police shootings. In almost every case, had the suspect / civilian complied, he or she would be alive. And then we're hearing all this inequality stuff about schools. And then you look at the hours spent studying by black and brown kids versus the hours spent by white and Asian kids. It's night and day. It's all about personal responsibility.
The Larry Elder Show, weeknights at 7 on AM 1250. The Answer.
If you're worried about market volatility or the possibility of losing money in the next market crash, the time to act is now. Effective financial management involves identifying opportunities. And with a 10-year bull market run, markets around all-time highs, and a highly contested election cycle right around the corner, we have an opportunity now to protect what's important. Don't risk losing a significant portion of your life savings in the next market downturn. Call Hunt & Associates today, 844-366-HUNT. That's 844-366-4868.
Community Bank.
City Mission.
Number One Cochran.
Highmark Stadium.
Peters Township Community Center.
Angelo's Restaurant.
What do all these businesses have in common?
Nello Construction.
Design and build with one company.
Nello Construction.
Full service construction from the ground up.
Renovation. Expansion.
Nello Construction. The choice for business.
See the projects.
Begin the journey
at NelloConstruction.com.
This is Jay Hagerman of Abernathy and Hagerman. Upon your passing, you wouldn't want a judge to decide who raises your children or how your estate gets divided. It is important to review your estate planning documents to ensure they protect what matters most. At Abernathy and Hagerman, we will work with you to establish an estate plan that nominates a guardian for your minor children and that your assets are used for your family's benefit. Judge for yourself. For legal help that lasts a lifetime, visit a-h.law.
Homeowners love their Pella windows and doors, and we love how happy we made Susan from Sewickley.
I just have to tell you, this bay window is absolutely beautiful. I mean, it's fantastic. It really is. Beautiful.
Can we install some happiness for you? Right now, get 50% off installation or 18 months, no payments, no interest. Call for your free consultation. We'll come to you. 888-78-PELLA. PellaPittsburgh.com.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
On the Parkway East, go to see heavy delays outbound from Forbes Avenue out to Edgewood-Swissvale. Inbound from Edgewood-Swissvale to the tunnel and on your way to the Fort Pitt Bridge. Parkway West stacking up inbound Carnegie to the Fort Pitt Tunnel. Parkway North heavy Mount Nebo Road overpass up to 79. 79 jams up northbound Mount Nebo Road up to 910 and southbound approaching Bridgeville. That's a look at traffic. I'm Jenny Robinson.
AM 1250, The Answer. Weather.
Warm and humid tonight with a shower or thunderstorm in a few spots late, low 66. Morning clouds tomorrow and a shower will give way to some sunshine in the afternoon, also turning less humid, high 77. Partly cloudy and cooler tomorrow night, low 56. Mostly sunny and nice on Sunday, high near 80. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm meteorologist Allison Hoig.
You're listening to the John Steigerwald Show on AM 1250, The Answer.
It's Friday. Let's do some sports. Pitt plays Penn State tomorrow at noon. It's the 100th time they've played each other. It's probably going to be a long time before they play again, if they ever play again. What's up with that? Well, Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News and SportingNews.com grew up in Pittsburgh. He knows all about what that rivalry was like a long time ago, and he wrote about it yesterday. Mike joins us now. Mike, thanks for being here.
Oh, I'm so glad to do it, John. Great to talk to you.
So I know there are a lot of reasons for Pitt possibly not playing Penn State again after tomorrow, but how much of it is just, when you boil it down, just plain stupidity?
I'm not sure I'd go quite that far. I think that a lot has changed between the two and in each team's circumstance over the course of, basically the last 40 years. Starting back in the late 70s, early 80s, when Joe Paterno was among the advocates and probably the most prominent advocate of a league that would be all sports for Eastern schools, Syracuse, Boston College, Pitt, West Virginia, Penn State, and some others, Rutgers, and they would play football, basketball, field hockey, whatever else. And at the time, all those schools were independent in football, and the Big East was just getting started up in basketball. And there are various different stories about why that thing never quite came off, different people blaming different people. But in the end, Dave Gavitt, who was the Big East commissioner at the time, very smartly, in order to save the league, the Big East, decided to go after another school and to keep that from happening. And originally, the members voted on whether to invite Penn State, and they turned it down. And then they voted again and said, okay, how about Pitt? And they said, yeah, we want them. And Pitt was offered the chance to be in the Big East, and they took it. And that pretty much killed the idea of an Eastern all-sports league that might still be in existence, and then would have had Pitt, Penn State, and West Virginia playing every year. So I guess you could call it that if you want to call it that, but it's decisions that were made a long time ago that ultimately led us to this place.
I guess why I think it just boils down to stupidity is that all those things that you just mentioned are 100% true and understandable. But they also, even though they have been in different leagues, they have had the opportunity to play each other. Their schedules allowed them to play each other, Pitt, West Virginia, and Penn State. And for all kinds of reasons that you and I are fully aware of, they don't do it. I mean, 2 weeks ago, Penn State beat Idaho 79-7. Now,
right.
Next year, they're not going to play Pitt, and they're going to beat somebody else named Idaho 63-0. But they won't play Pitt.
I think what you have to think about is that if Pitt had maintained its program at the level that it was when the incidents happened that I talked about before, when Dan Marino was around and Bill Frelick and those players, and they were really special, and they were looking each other eye to eye year after year, and making each other better and pushing each other. And also, as I wrote in the column that I put on SportingNews.com yesterday, because you beat Pitt, it mattered. It helped make you better. If you beat Penn State, it mattered. And neither of them had that before probably mid-70s. And so they elevated each other, but then Pitt kind of took a step back. And for a while, it didn't really help Penn State much to beat Pitt. And then it hurt them when they lost, because Pitt was good enough to beat you, but maybe not good enough to go 11-1 or 10-2. And that's really sort of, with a few exceptions, been the case now for at least two decades, maybe a little longer than that. And so it's no longer as useful for Penn State to play Pitt. It's a nice little connection to all their many alums in Western Pennsylvania when they bring the team to Heinz Field. But honestly, if they want to do that, they could do that against somebody else that isn't as good as Pitt. And they could control all the tickets and make all the money that they would sell in Heinz Field rather than just get a guaranteed payout from the Panthers.
Right. I guess that gets me right back to the stupidity because Penn State, the fact that Pitt becomes less attractive because they might, there's that little bit of a chance that Pitt might beat them, so they'd rather play Idaho. Who wants to watch that when you get right down? I mean, who sits in the stands and watches Penn State leading 63-0 in the third quarter?
I don't know if they were still there, but there were 105,000 people at the start of that game.
I know.
I think in Penn State's defense, being in the division that they're in the Big Ten, mandates that they play Ohio State, Michigan, and Michigan State every year.
Right.
I mean, those are three huge mountains to climb. And then in certain particular years when they get a crossover game like a Wisconsin or a road game against Iowa, we saw what that was like for them a couple years ago when Saquon was in his big year. It really becomes hard. So then you throw on a rivalry game against Pitt, which, I mean, we saw again a couple of years ago was good enough to beat them. Not last year, certainly, but a couple of years ago at Heinz Field did a great job and beat them. So,
yeah.
I think that's, you know, the idea that it's a harder game than it's worth for Penn State, I think that says a lot about why this is not going to happen any longer.
And see, that brings me back to, I don't know what the solution is. I have some ideas about it. But see, I think if you are Penn State or Alabama, who's Alabama have coming up here? I saw Western Carolina, not even Eastern Carolina. They're playing Western Carolina at Alabama
yes.
here coming up soon. To me, if I'm on the committee that's supposed to pick the playoff teams, I look at that and I say, okay, let's see, Western Carolina. That'll cost them 20 points right there on my list. Thank you very much. Who did Penn State play? Idaho. That'll cost them 15 or 20. So it still comes down to the fact that somewhere along the line, a system has emerged that makes it smarter for Penn State to play Idaho than play Pitt, or for Pitt to play Ohio U instead of West Virginia, and it's just insanity.
Well, the difference
for the fans,
the difference between Penn State and Alabama. Now, I'm totally with you on Alabama. What the SEC does with their scheduling is a travesty. In the SEC, you only have to play 8 league games, and in the Big Ten, you have to play 9. So. And for the most part, I mean, there aren't very many easy games in the Big Ten. And if you're like one of Ohio State's all time teams, they can pretty much roll through the league until they get to Penn State or Michigan. But Penn State doesn't usually. I mean, they've played some great teams. They don't usually just absolutely detonate everybody in their path. They're going to have to have a few tough games. With some of the non-powers, like I said, that game that Saquon Barkley took over late, and they won on the final play of the game, even though Iowa was not a great team that year.
Yeah.
That's going to happen in their league. Whereas in the SEC, you know, Alabama's looking at playing probably a couple of easy games. They don't usually play very many difficult games out of the league. On occasion, I mean, and I think this is going to be one of those years. They'll probably have a brutal game against LSU, and if Georgia does what we think they're going to do, they'll have a brutal game in the SEC championship. But there is too much light scheduling. If you've got four non-conference games, it's hard to defend playing more than two against teams that have zero shot at even getting on the field with you.
Yeah, see, what it gets down to for me, though, we're talking to Mike DeCourcy of Sporting News and SportingNews.com. What gets down to me is I, as a fan, and I talked to a guy just a few days ago, a Pitt guy, who said that he would be happy to have Pitt play Idaho and win 79-0 every week if it meant they got in the playoffs. And see, I put myself in, now you and I get in free to games, you know what I mean?
Right.
But so I try to put myself in a position of, how long would I want to put up with paying for a ticket and going through what I have to go through to get to the games and parking and all that to sit there and have it be 48-0 at halftime, because my reward is going to be, if I sit through this, that I get to go to a playoff. What happened to the fans just saying, wait a minute, I don't want to watch this stuff. I want to see Pitt and West Virginia. I don't want to see Pitt and Albany. You know, how do the fans accept this?
Well, you know, I think Pitt fans have shown that they do want those games. They've drawn very well for the biggest games.
Yeah.
For some of the lesser games, it's harder to get the good crowds there. Your hypothetical question about beating Idaho and it's like 11-12 times.
Yeah.
You would not get in the playoff if you did that.
Well, they're saying he would take it. If that was the system, that'd be fine with him. I'd be happy to see those nine or ten games.
Yeah, I understand that. I mean, like, when the Steelers have a year when they don't have a lot of tough games, I think that's, maybe a little bit easier on their fans as opposed to the schedule they ran through in 2008 on the way to the Super Bowl.
Right.
But I do think that... You do have to remember that they're college kids, and they shouldn't be playing 12 games anyway. 11 was plenty.
Right. 10 wasn't
bad. The 12th game was an absolute greedy money grab, and it should never have happened.
Right.
And so the idea of throwing them out there to play 12 games against guys that are basically their equals in so many words, that's a lot to ask. And so it is understandable why Penn State would want to play Idaho, just to it's sort of almost like an exhibition game, even though it counts.
Mm-hmm.
You play one of those a year, that's fine. When you start playing a couple the way some of the teams in the SEC do, and playing them in November the way they do, that's a joke.
Well, did you see the story in Alabama? Maybe the college kids are starting to wise up, because down in Alabama they are tracking students by their smartphones. And they are trying to keep the students in the stadium for the games when it's a blowout against Western Carolina. They do it by you accrue points if you stay late in the game. And there's an app that allows you to register the fact that you're at the game. And Nick Saban is screaming and yelling about the kids leaving. He's upset that it's 75-0 at the end of the third quarter, and some people have decided they have something better to do than watch that. They leave, and he's upset. So they're offering prizes to people if they stay and watch the whole facsimile of a game.
Well, if it's a typical Alabama Saturday in September, and they're typically ahead 80-0 in the third quarter, I don't know if there's a prize big enough to make me sit in that heat.
Right.
I would say if Nick Saban isn't mad about something, then it's then the sun didn't come up.
Right.
He's a pretty cranky guy most of the time. So I admire them for being sort of innovative and having some ideas about what they can do to better their atmosphere. It does sound a little big brotherish, but as long as you have to sign up in the headline, and I saw it in the Times, the headline looks like that they're spying on you. But
right.
If you have to sign up for it,
yeah.
and download the app and all that, what's at stake. So I don't have a problem with it. It's an innovative way to try to make your game day atmosphere better. But as you know, and it's the point of this whole conversation, the best game day atmosphere is to play Georgia or Auburn or Tennessee.
How about not
or
having Western Carolina in the stadium?
Exactly.
Honestly,
Alabama should never play a 1AA school or what they call FCS now. It should never. I mean, they're Alabama. I mean, that should never happen. Because if they played Cincinnati or let's say somebody like San Diego State, they're still going to do the same thing to that team that they're going to do to Western Carolina, because at some point, you're playing your six-string guys just to keep it under 100.
Well, as a fan, I'm supposed to feel all warm and fuzzy because by Western Carolina dragging their kids in to get humiliated 79-0, that the field hockey team at Western Carolina will be able to travel to wherever they want to travel to. I'm supposed to, as a fan, I'm supposed to think I'm supposed to want to sit through that game because all through the game, I got to be thinking of how wonderful it is for the other sports
yes.
in Western Carolina. It's just so stupid to me. I'm talking about as a fan, you know?
That level of disparity, you know, like they do that in basketball, too.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those. But you know, no one's getting plowed over in a basketball game. I mean, you might not play well and you might get dunked on a few times. But nobody's getting, you know, hurt or physically manhandled in the way that that a Western Carolina or a Citadel, Alabama played a year or two ago. The disparity there isn't healthy for the game, and Alabama should have more pride than to play in those games. But apparently they don't because they keep scheduling them.
I only have about a minute left, Mike. HBO, I think, a couple years ago did a documentary story on HBO Real Sports talking about these teams being, you know, sacrificed to Alabama and all the injuries that occur because of them. And it's a problem. These kids get beat up.
That does not surprise me. That's exactly what I'm talking about. It's a different deal in basketball when you play what we call a bye game. If Pitt buys Robert Morris, for instance, I mean, that's fine. You know, they're probably going to win the game. It's good. You know, it's good to work out their system against somebody other than somebody else. And nobody's going to get, you know, physically overwhelmed.
Right.
That's a totally different deal than what we see in football.
Last thing, you got any kind of a prediction on are we going to see even a close game tomorrow?
You know, I have seen bits and pieces of both of Penn State's games, and I did not get to see much of the Ohio game, but I saw the opener. I think Penn State's going to be a better football team in the end, and it probably helps to play at home. But I'm not convinced yet that Penn State is where they need to be. Running game still disengaged. Quarterback has his moments. If you put some pressure on him, with the pass rush, I think you could at least have a chance at making it a competitive game and have a chance to steal it in the fourth quarter.
Mike, I really appreciate it. Thanks for doing this. I'm reached the age now where there's a good chance I'll be dead the next time they play. So if I'm not, we'll talk about it then.
That sounds great, John. Thank you.
All right. That's Mike DeCourcy, and we'll be right back.
Obamacare, Trumpcare, ACA, COBRA. There are so many choices, but all seem to bring one word to mind. Expensive. There are lots of changes happening in healthcare today. Fortunately, I know someone that has been on the forefront of health insurance for years, Todd Marley at Marley Financial. Todd and his team of professionals are licensed with virtually every healthcare provider in the country. They help determine which plan is right for you and then expertly help you choose the best plan for your needs and then do so prudently. Don't need maternity coverage? Call Marley Financial. Have pre-existing conditions? Call Marley Financial. Want just catastrophic or just accident? You know the answer. Worried about the penalty? All of Marley Financial plans are penalty exempt because they know how to design the plans. Most of their clients save 30 to 60%, which can add up to several $1,000s a year. Call Todd at Marley Financial, 724-884-1496. That's 724-884-1496 on the web at marleyfg.com.
The Supreme Court confirmation process has been on the point of breakdown for 30 years, and it finally collapsed with the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh. I'm Molly Hemingway.
And I'm Carrie Severino. Our new book, Justice on Trial, The Kavanaugh Confirmation and the Future of the Supreme Court, tells the story of the process that Kavanaugh himself called a national disgrace and a circus.
The Supreme Court is the arbiter of America's most divisive disputes. The incentive to destroy Supreme Court nominees has become nearly irresistible. Our book, Justice on Trial, explores how that happened to Brett Kavanaugh and what we must do to prevent it from happening again.
With more than 100 interviews, including the president, dozens of senators and other officials, we uncovered shocking details, untold until now.
Will the next confirmation fight be even uglier than Kavanaugh's? Our new book, Justice on Trial, has the answer.
Justice on Trial, The Kavanaugh Confirmation and the Future of the Supreme Court, is the explosive new bestseller by Molly Hemingway and Carrie Severino, published by Regnery. Get your copy now at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and wherever books are sold.
At the Original Mattress Factory, we don't chase trends. We focus on one thing, quality. We only use the highest quality materials to build our mattresses and box springs, and we put all of our products through the ringer, testing new designs and materials at our test center in Cleveland, Ohio. If a new feature or technology doesn't offer a true benefit, we don't put it in our products. At the Original Mattress Factory, our focus is on what makes a great mattress, not a great markup. Visit originalmattress.com to learn more.
Sleep impacts your ability to focus, learn, and solve problems. But according to Harvard Medical School, only 11% of American college students are sleeping well. At the Original Mattress Factory, we can't guarantee that your college student won't stay up until 3 a.m. cramming before a big exam. But we can provide a hand-built, high-quality mattress at a factory-direct price when they are finally ready to get some rest. Visit an Original Mattress Factory store near you or go to originalmattress.com to learn more.
Warning, property protected by electric fence. Sharks sighted in water.
Warnings are truly handy.
Bridge out.
But you may not always get a warning when it comes to threats to your identity or the personal information on your devices. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection includes Norton Security for even more protection. LifeLock uses proprietary technology to help detect identity threats, like your personal info for sale on the dark web. And Norton Security protects up to 5 devices from ransomware and other online threats. Plus, if you have a problem, our agents will work to fix it. Of course, no one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but having someone looking out for you...
Warning, minefield ahead.
...will help keep you out of danger. Join now and get 10% off your first year. Go to LifeLock.com and enter promo code TITTLE. That's promo code TITTLE for 10% off. LifeLock with Norton. More detection, more protection.
This is the John Steigerwald Show on AM 1250 and FM 92.5. The Answer.
So I wanted to follow up a little bit on what Mike DeCourcy and I were talking about, just so you know. The stupidity of this, we're going into a college football weekend, and this happens all over the country, that the teams that they schedule are so putrid and the games are so bad that they have to bribe the students to stay there for the end of the game. Now, Western Carolina is who Alabama plays on November 23rd. This is who Western Carolina is. Tomorrow they have a game against North Greenville University. I've never heard of it. And I thought I knew just about every college football team that existed. That's who Western Carolina will play tomorrow, North Greenville University. But in a couple of months, Western Carolina will go to Alabama. And what we have here is the students refuse to go to the games. In other words, they're saying, I wouldn't go to that game if you paid me. They're actually offering to pay them, give them gifts, whatever, and they're not showing up. Unbelievable stupidity. Anyway, that's it for the week. Another good week. Thanks to Aaron Byrne for the producing. Thanks to you for listening, and I'll talk to you on Monday.
The John Steigerwald Show is a production of AM 1250 The Answer and Salem Media Group.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.